Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. We're going to look at a few verses to get started with here. You know, I just didn't think about this, but until just a little bit ago, half the year's over. Amen. And but as time passes, you know, and I believe when we get closer and closer to some things of the end, our mission has never changed. And that is win the lost. And I want to talk this morning, the title of my sermon this morning is Pray Ye, Send Ye, Go Ye. Pray Ye, Send Ye, Go Ye. Pastor Denise talked about the prayer groups, and we got some others that are coming along. And we it's so important that we know part of our responsibility. You know, in looking at Christianity and the Word of God, and especially in the epistles, you know, there's so much of who we are in Christ. We need to know all those things. But one of the greatest principles of the New Testament is we are citizens of heaven. We are the children of God. We've been adopted into the family, given firstborn rights and privileges. We have the authority that Jesus has to operate in this earth. Why? For our benefit? Well, it does benefit us, but that's not the number one purpose. We are still here. Think about this. Why are we still here? It's because we are ambassadors. Amen. An ambassador is sent to live in another country to represent the country they're from. We are citizens of heaven. We're no longer, we're in this earth, but we're not of it any longer. We're not citizens of this. Why are we still here? Because others need to hear. Amen. So here in Matthew 28, and I'm going to read this from the King James. Of course, you know how I do. If you know me, I kind of un-King James things, but here we go. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power or authority is the word there, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Look over Mark chapter 16, please. I'm going to read these opening portions of scripture, then we may go back and talk about them, reference them, but I wanted to read these to start with. Here in Mark 16, you know, as in Matthew 28, Jesus is resurrected. He's ready to ascend to heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's giving instructions to those whom he's leaving behind to continue his ministry. Now, you know, Jesus finished his ministry, but there's a continuing of it. He finished what he came to do, and he ever lives now to make intercession for the saints, but he gave the church responsibilities before he left. Here in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat in the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Notice, he didn't say if you're an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, pastor and teacher. He said, go make disciples. Go share this message. Notice in verse 20 there, if they pull that back up, notice what it says. The King James says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The word them in the printed Bible is in italics. That means it wasn't there in the original, and it was added by the translators of the King James Bible to try to bring clarity. But I want you to notice something here. Let's leave it out because it wasn't in the original language. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Working with the word of God. Now, I'd like to think, oh boy, God's really working with me, but God works with the word that I preach and the word that I act on and the word that I speak. It's his word that gets confirmed. It's his word that that gets the results is what I'm trying to say. But yet it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to speak forth that word. Now let's continue on this, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and then we're going to break these three areas down. Pray ye, send ye, go ye. Matthew chapter 9, let's start in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It's interesting, you know, people talk about, because Jesus mentioned it in John chapter 14, if you believe in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And sometimes we get bogged down with the greater works. How about just doing the works? Jesus taught, Jesus preached, Jesus healed. And we can do the same because he's given us the authority to do it. Now remember, Jesus said, the Father in me, he does the work. So he didn't heal anybody. I don't have to heal anybody. You don't have to heal anybody. You have to give them the word. Give them the word. Give them what the word says about their situation. But notice this in verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, if the harvest was plenteous then, how much more today? Have we crossed the 8 billion threshold yet? We're close. I think we have. Just give us a day. We'll be there. But if the harvest was plenteous then, how much more in our day? But notice he said the laborers are few. Laborers are few. Now, in order to become, you just don't automatically get born again and become a laborer. You have to choose to be a laborer. Amen. I wish some of these things were automatic. But I have to choose. I have to make choices. You're going to have to choose to pray. You're going to have to choose to sin. You're going to have to choose to go. Amen. Now, let me say this about those three things. First of all of that is part of the Great Commission. All of those are. Now, there are some people that will do all three. But there are some people that one of them is what God's called them to. Within those three things, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to find yourself. And you're going to find fulfillment on the earth doing one of those three things. A lot of people unhappy. A lot of Christians unhappy. You know what I think? Now, this is an unscientific statement I'm about to make. I have no research on it other than being around people, being around Christians for the last 44 years. The most unhappy people, Christians that I've ever found, are the Christians that make it all about them. It's all about them. They don't care about anybody else. What about me? My needs aren't being met. You know, the Bible didn't say that you go. In fact, I hope you're here at Rhema Bible Church because God told you to be here. You know, over the years, you know, going in church, and I tell this story, my wife cringes, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You know, we had so many people, especially in the last church where I was an associate pastor at. Just people show up, you know, well, God sent me here. God sent us here to hook up. And 3 weeks later, they're unhooked. Why? You didn't let them preach. You didn't let them do their thing. Right? I told the pastor, I was joking a little. That next time someone says God told us to come here and hook up, I'm going to punch him right in the nose. Because if God told you, it doesn't matter what circumstances are, you're going to do what God said you're going to do, right? Well, my needs aren't being met. Well, maybe it's not about your needs being met. Maybe it's about you being part and helping meet somebody else's needs. Now, if you're a young Christian, and we all need to be fed. You know, how many of you like to go have somebody cook you a nice meal? We all need to be fed. But how many of you found out sometimes you got to feed yourself? Well, this isn't my sermon this morning, but I'm having fun talking about it. No, our purpose is to pray, to send, and to go. You think about the mandate that kind of started this entire Rhema thing. Go teach my people faith. Go. In fact, as you read, his brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Hagin's father, as he talked about it, he said, the Lord told him, he said, I've allowed you to, you've learned some things. He said, I've allowed you to go through some things, and you've learned faith. Now go teach people. Oh, go teach other people. See, it's not about me. It's not about, you know, just me, my four, and no more, or whatever. Amen. Verse 38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now keep reading here down through 8 verses here. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits, and cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 among these were first Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew's brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Levius the son of, whose surname was Thaddeus, Labius, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the any of the city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now notice this, freely you have received, freely give. So out of all, you think about it, out of all that we have received by becoming in Christ, all of that greatness. You know, the Bible says that our needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has put his life in us. My needs are met by that. God is working in me, meeting my needs. But what about my neighbor's needs? What about that person that doesn't know him? Freely I have received, freely I am to give. Amen? See, it's free. It didn't cost me anything. Somebody I heard say this years ago, the gospel doesn't cost anything to receive, but it'll cost you all you have to share it. You received it for free. You know, I think about those, and I learned it through watching the examples of godly men and women. You know, there's sometimes, and we don't like it necessarily in our time that we live in. People don't like this, but there are sacrifices. There are things that you might miss in order to go preach the gospel. There are some things you might have to give up. There's some money you might have to spend that you could have spent on something else to get the gospel preached. But oh, the reward of heaven. Oh my goodness. It's so much greater. Now notice this. Let's talk about pray ye. There in chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice, first of all, he, God the Father, is the Lord of the harvest. That tells me this, the harvest belongs to him. It is his harvest. He is, the King James Bible calls him the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's the owner of the field. He's working the field. How is he doing it? He's enlisted us. We are his laborers, right? He said, pray. Now notice what he doesn't say. Pray that God would save people. Well, I got a question for us. What more does God have to do than what's already been done through Jesus Christ? Is there any more blood that needs to be shed? Is there any more sin that needs to be born? No. Jesus has finished that work. God has finished the work of salvation. I quote this script, this passage from I believe I have it in here. Hang on just a second. I have this from the book Believer's Authority, and in the old version, not the Legacy, it's on page 5 of this. But Brother Hagin said this. He said, did you ever stop to think about it? Salvation belongs to the sinner. Jesus already has bought the salvation of the worst sinner, just as he did for us. That's the reason he told us to go tell the good news. Go tell sinners they're reconciled to God. But we've never really told them that. We've told them God's mad at them and is coming up and is counting up everything they've done wrong. Yet the Bible says God isn't holding anything against the sinner. God says he has canceled it out. That's what's so awful. The poor sinner, not knowing this, will have to go to hell, even though all his debts are canceled. 2 Corinthians 5:19 will tell you that. There's no sin problem. Jesus settled that. There's just a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus, and that cures the problem. Yes, that's a little different from what people have been taught, but it's what the Bible says. So in our praying, we're not praying for God to go save people. We're praying for God to raise up and send laborers. So my first call to action, if you will, all three of these are call to actions. Pray ye. Now, how many of you know every one of us can pray? You don't have to have a special anointing to pray. You know, I know back in the early days of my walk, you know, today is actually 44 years ago. Glory to God. June 30th. It was a Monday night, you remember? I don't know why, but I knew it was a Monday night. But 44 years. But walking through that, you know, sometimes things get relegated. We think to pray, you got to have a special calling. And so we made a calling out of prayer. There was a calling of intercession. And, you know, most of that is, can I pat myself on the back because I feel led to pray? You know, you don't need a ministry title. You don't need an office. You just need to be a Christian to pray. Pray what? Oh, God, save someone. Oh, God, save those poor people. No, God, send forth laborers into the harvest. Laborers. What are these laborers? Again, they are ministers of reconciliation. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look what the Word of God says there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 17 because how can you start after that? And really, it starts with therefore. Sometimes you need to go back and find out what it's there for. So read it. Ministers of reconciliation. Look what he says here in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if any man, that's men, women, children, doesn't matter, any person, be in Christ, he's a new creature, or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now notice this, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who? Those new creatures. Every new creature in Christ has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, again, that's not in there so we can go print our business cards. So-and-so, minister of reconciliation. You know, you don't need a card to tell people who you are if you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. People will know who you are. You know, because I get to wear different hats here at the ministry. At one time, I was an instructor, and then I was also, we had a golf team, and I was the golf coach, and a lot of them called me coach. Then some of them were still around here when I became the dean and was on the pastoral staff. They said, what do you call you? And I had one, he would always joke and say, Pastor Dean Coach Tad. Just a joke. We texted today. He still calls me coach. You know, sometimes with coaches, you still kind of keep that. But it doesn't matter. I tell people all the time, I don't care what you call me. Just call me when you need me. And call me whatever you need to call me in order to receive from the gift that's in me. Amen. You know, honor is to be given, not demanded. So I'm not demanding anyone honor me with a title. But how many of you know in Jesus' hometown, because they were so familiar with him, they couldn't receive the mighty things? Amen. That's good stuff. All right. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, what does that mean? Here's the ministry, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, not counting. That's an accounting term there. Not imputing. In other words, it didn't go on. He took it from our ledger and put it on his, imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What's that? That's the gospel. The good news that God was in Christ. That's what he says here. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we're praying along this line that God would raise up ambassadors, raise up laborers laborers who know the message. Now, every one of us at any given time could be the one who sent. We could be that ambassador. We could be that laborer. So all of us need to know the message. That's why it's important to every person know how to open up and read the Bible and to realize, let God be true and everything else a lie. Amen? What God said is true. And so, how many of you realize then by looking at that, to tell the person who doesn't know Christ, you're no good, dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell, is not the message of reconciliation. The message is good news. I got good news from you, for you. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. See, until you come to Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin. But I got good news for you today. God has reconciled himself to us so that we could be reconciled to God. There's nothing that's standing in the way right now other than your decision to receive what he's done for you. Be reconciled to God. How many of you know after that, then those old things are passed away? You can't get those old things to pass away before you come to that. Anybody in here has ever, that you'd say, I'm a fisherman or a fisherwoman, whatever, it's a gender. How many of you like to fish? How many of you have been fishing at least once? How many of you like to eat fish? Okay, I got most of you there. So, some of you know, but that's all right. Do you realize that you can't clean the fish until you actually catch the fish? You got to get them in the boat. You got to get them in the ark of safety of the new birth. Then the word of God will cleanse them. Ephesians 5 tells us, well, the washing, the water of the word cleanses us. The word of God will cleanse them. Any of you ever been around babies? How many of you have been around baby? You were a baby. All right, some of you still don't know. All right. But aren't you glad that when you were a child and you made a mess, which we all did, that when the diaper went out to the garbage, you didn't go with it? What'd they do? They cleaned you up. So yes, pray for laborers, but let's continue to pray for others. All right. Look at John 17. Let's talk about Sinji. And we're going to have many, many opportunities for prayer to be going forth. Besides, you know, we've got some great, the two that are going now, we have some great things coming. But I'm telling you, prayer is vital. But, you know, you can pray at any time and anywhere. Now listen, don't go over here to Walmart and drop down on your knees and start shouting in tongues. He said, pray ye, not weird ye, or strange ye. Well, I'm just birthing something. Birth is done in private, people. I can't understand. And I don't know when, my dad didn't have to go in the labor and delivery room. I had the privilege. I'm saying that because my wife's here. I had the privilege of being in the labor and delivery room. I said, I'm not trained for this. The second one, they asked me to cut the cord. I haven't been to medical school. What are you paying all you people for? Scissors was not my gifting. I still have trouble cutting on the lines, and they want me to... Hallelujah. John 17. But do those things in private. You want to lock yourself in your bedroom and shout in tongues? Go ahead and do it. I was in Kenya one time in Kakamega, and this would have been, oh boy, probably 2001, I think it was. Might have been 2000, 2001, somewhere in there. 2001, actually. And I was there, but there were some other folks there. And let's just say they were more of the Pentecostal persuasion, old-time Pentecostal persuasion. And we're there in the hotel. And unfortunately, these two ladies had a room right next to mine. And there's no air conditioning. So you have your, you have your windows open. You got fresh air blowing through there. And they were just going at it. I mean, they were praying in tongues. They were shouting. They were whooping. They were doing any kind of noise you can that could come out of a human being was coming out of these ladies. And the hotel staff's down there knocking on my door. Are they okay? You know, they thought they were going to, they wanted to call the police. Again, know how to pray. Pray, yes. Amen. If you find John 17, if you haven't, look on with your neighbor there. Look on the screen right here. Look at verse 18. Notice what Jesus said. As talking to the Father, he says, as thou, or to the Father, as you, Father, have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. So we could stop there and say, well, he's sending the 12. Of course, Judas isn't there yet. It's not there anymore. But he's sending his followers. He's sending them. But notice verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe that you have sent me. Believe on me through their word. I dropped down a verse. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them. Everybody say, them is me. So he's praying for us, you and I, also which shall believe on me through their word. One way or another, all of us have believed in Jesus through the work of these eyewitnesses. One way or another, it's been thousands of years, a couple thousand years, but we believe because of what these eyewitnesses went out and did. And so he's praying for us. And as he sent them, he sent us. Jesus, we know he sent the 12 out. One other time he sent 70 out. It's recorded. But later he sent the church out. We know it's the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 13. It's the job and the work of the Holy Spirit to send people. We're praying that the Lord would send forth laborers. Look at what it says here in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, that is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So you got five of these guys. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. How many of you know this is the Lord of the harvest, sending forth laborers, right? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now notice here, we see the work of God, we see the Holy Spirit sending them, but notice that phrase also in verse number 3, they sent them away. We have a part in helping those whom God has sent by sending. Praying, pray ye, send ye. We are to be senders. What does that mean? Well, we are to help empower others to go. See, not everybody's going to go. Now, I do think that it'd be great for everybody to go on a missions trip sometime. Of course, every spring break time, we have missions trips here. They're not just for the college. They're for Rhema Bible Church members. And we have Rhema Bible Church members that go on these trips that have never gone to school, and that's fine. Praise the Lord. It is a trip that changes lives, not just for those that you go and minister to, but the people that are on the trip. But how many of you know you can't go every time? But there are times that you can send. You can empower others to go. You can equip others to go. Aren't you glad that God, when he told us to go, he equipped us. He equipped us with the mighty Holy Ghost. He gave us the name of Jesus. He gave us the word of God. And he gave us the Holy Ghost to go out and do those works. Equipped to go. We can also embolden others to go. What does that mean? To encourage, to strengthen those to go. Amen. I know especially in the from 1996 up until for about a 4-year stretch there. I made several trips, and I've done some since then, but several trips to East Africa there in Kenya. Well, I've got little ones at home, and if Amanda hadn't given me that strength at home to be able to go, I could have never gone. Amen. And we were at the church we were at too. We had the pastors of the church. They'd check on her all the time. Everything okay? And it seemed like, you know, there for a couple times, every time I'd leave, something would happen. The car wouldn't run, flat tire, and all that. Until I saw in Scripture one place where the Bible said Jesus sent them forth to go minister. And then he went to their cities and villages and preached. He sent them out and then went to their home and took care of their thing at home while they went and did his bidding. So from that point on, every time I go, I station, I know we take care of things at home. How? The Lord. I stand on that. And we've had very few little things at all. Mandy can testify to that. Amen? But she, if it wasn't for her emboldening me to go, I couldn't have gone. And I think of all the things that have happened in these last, since 1996, over these years. I mean, that first trip I went on, when I got home, my son turned away from me. He wouldn't even, he was gone for 2 weeks. He at the airport, he turned. He didn't know, you know, he was that young, a little bit over a year old, year and a half, not even quite a year and a half. Didn't last long, but you know what I'm saying. But emboldened to go. Amen. See, one of the things with us sending is to help them go. I think of Brother Hagin's life, Kenneth E. Hagin. Those years he traveled, left his family, had to leave his family at home. What if Miss Aretha, and we called her Mom Hagin, hadn't been there? What if there hadn't been church? What if there hadn't been others there? Would we be here today? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But thank God we don't have to answer that question. Because he was emboldened to go by those around him. We can be part of that help. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me, if you would please. Paul, the apostle Paul, had the church at Macedonia, the church at Philippi. They helped him go. He was sent forth by the Holy Ghost, but he was also sent forth by people. Now, we may not always go. We can always pray, and many times we can help sin. Philippians 4, verse 16. Said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. You did what? You sent. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice that when we send, it's well-pleasing to God. It's a sweet aroma that rises up to God. But he said, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, when I help send, I put myself in that line of my needs being met. I'm giving. Sometimes I give what I could use for myself. You know, in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 4, we're told that he said, don't steal, and if you steal, quit stealing, but rather labor, work with your own hands, that you might have to give to him that has need. Now, sometimes, you know, yes, we give to those who are less fortunate and have financial, but how about giving so the gospel can be preached? Giving to get that message out. Labor so you can do that. Think about your money from that standpoint. What can I do? I was in, we took a spring break trip here this March to Nigeria, and I sat with a man, Emeka. I was sitting with him at the Rama Abuja campus alumni meeting, and he was sitting there with me. And in the late 70s, in 79, he came to camp meeting here at Rama. And in 1980, when When he got back, he started ordering boxes of the Word of Faith magazine and then sending them out all over Nigeria at his own expense. He said, I have to have my money in that field. And he said, since that day, I began that, and we continue to do it today, he said, I have never had a need that went unmet. Hallelujah. What a testimony. He says there in verse 20, now unto God and the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we can always pray. We can help send. And then we can go. But to go, I'm going to tell you something. You got to be ready to go. Go as a minister. Go do what? Go as a minister of reconciliation. Be ready by knowing the message. Be ready. Now, one thing about praying in this light, because when we pray in this light, you know, the Bible says that God will is that everyone come to a knowledge of the truth, be saved. We're told to pray for all those in leadership. Pray, not that my will be done, but that they come to know Jesus. Amen? Pray in that way. But be ready to go. Go as ministers of reconciliation. Go with the message. God's not against you. In fact, God is so much for you, you are so valuable to God, that the most precious and valuable substance that's ever existed on this earth is what it cost to pay for your redemption and reconciliation back to God. That's the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth. There's not enough gold in the earth to pay for our sin. There's not enough silver. There's not enough oil. There's not enough anything in this earth. It took the blood. God became flesh and dwelt among men. The light came and shined in the darkness. And that's the message. We are told to be lights in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. But when we're going out preaching and telling people how horrible they are and how listen, they're sinners. What are they supposed to do? Sin. That's what sinners do. What do Christians do? Be a minister of reconciliation. Pray ye. Send ye. Go ye. You know, I was thinking about if you watch sports or anything like that, you know, on been to sporting events, and anytime a good player or a great thing happens, you know, it's almost universal, especially, you know, here in English speaking areas, they don't, you know, they always shout, "Let's go!" to their teammates, right? It's kind of obvious that's what we're doing, but they always shout that, right? Amen. I think it's time for us to get excited and rear back and to look at one another and say, let's go! Let's go! There's a world out there that needs to hear, let's go! Let's go what? Let's go pray. Let's go sin. And let's go preach. Pray ye. Send ye. Go ye. Because why? People need the Lord. Oh, they need the Lord. We just got to have that attitude. Look, I'm not willing to go to heaven without you. I'm not willing to spend eternity without you. Be reconciled to God. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, be reconciled. I'm pleading with you. Come to God. Through Jesus. One of the great evangelists was out ministering on the streets. He would spend time. He would go and have great crusades, big time crusades. But he'd also go out every day. And he said, I cannot preach it from the pulpit. This was his his testimony. He said, I don't want to preach from the pulpit until I win people on the streets to the Lord. And so he would, even in his meetings, he'd be, have to preach that night, but out during the day, he'd be out winning people to the Lord. And he came across this one young lady, and he's talking to her, and she said, oh, no, he said, you know, I like to dance, and if I become a Christian, I won't be able to dance, I won't be able to do all these things I like to do. He said, you know what? He said, why don't you just come on and know the Lord. Come to God. He doesn't care if you dance or not. Just dance all you want. Just do all that all you want after, but come to him. Well, she says, she came to the meeting that night. He didn't win her right there, but she came to the meeting that night. And he gave the altar call, and of the hundreds of people that came down, he happened to spot her. And at that time, he would pray with them, and he'd send them back, make sure they got prayed with, you know, kind of like we do here, make sure they got exactly what they had need of. And then afterward, he was there, and she came up to him after the service, said, you tricked me. You tricked me. Well, I didn't trick you. No, I just told you. She said, yeah, you tricked me. You told me after I got saved, I could dance and do all those things all I want, carry on all I want. She goes, you didn't tell me I wouldn't want to anymore. Amen. Pray ye, send ye, go ye. Father, we just thank you for the word today. Father, you've commissioned us. You've given us a call to action. And this morning, we just reviewed what you have said. But Father, I know that you're speaking to men and women, boys and girls, all over this auditorium. Holy Spirit speaking. There's a call that all of us have a part of. Preach the gospel. There's many aspects to it. We just mentioned three today. We thank you for it, Father. Now, as you're sitting there, you say, well, I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about. I got good news for you this morning. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. But you need to receive it. The Bible talks about being adopted into the family of God. But this adoption comes through a choice. It's not like you're a little child who has no choice. Someone else has to decide for you. This adoption is a choice that you get to make. If you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, and you want to be adopted into the family of God, it's your choice this morning. I want you to just raise your hand all across this auditorium. The ushers could help me. Raise your hand if you want me. I want to pray for you this morning. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Also, you may be here and you've known Jesus, but you've kind of walked away. You haven't been doing what you know God called you. You know, you haven't been doing what's right. You know that. I got good news for you today. God hasn't forsaken you. Come home. Come home to the family of God. If you want me to pray for you this morning, raise your hand. Anywhere across the auditorium. Amen. I don't see any hands. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands right where you are and just tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm going to pray. I'm going to send. I'm going to go. Just tell him any way you want to tell him. Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for raising up Rhema, Father God, to train men and women, skilled laborers in the end time harvest. But not just that, thank you for raising up Rhema Bible Church. Oh, hallelujah. To pray, to send, and to go. Father, I thank you for each and every one of these. As opportunities arise, that we'll recognize them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Dan, did you guys have something?
And I surrender all. And I surrender all. And all to thee, my blessing. surrender.
Sing that again. I surrender to pray.
And I surrender.
We're going to sin, Lord. Hallelujah.
And I surrender.
And we're going to go. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, right here, back right here, Rhema Bible Church service. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you, hallelujah, for being here today. You know how we dismiss here? The pastoral staff's going to go to the doors to greet you. Brother Dan will dismiss you. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you back.